Good afternoon. Thank you all for being here. At this time, I'll call to order the regular meeting of the CDOT's Executive Committee for April 28, 2014. May we please have the roll call?
Blythe?
Here.
Cathedral City?
Present.
Coachella?
Here.
Desert Hot Springs?
Here.
Indian Wells?
Present.
Indio?
Present.
La Quinta?
Here.
Palm Desert?
Here.
Palm Springs?
Here.
Rancho Mirage?
Here.
Riverside County 4th District?
Here.
Riverside County 5th District?
Here.
Agua Caliente? We have a quorum.
Okay. At this time, I'd ask that you all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. And then Kathy DeRosa would lead us, please.
Thank you, Mayor Adol. The flag is a symbol of our great nation. Let's remember the men and women who fight to defend our rights. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item on the agenda is public comments. Anybody wishing to speak on an item which is on the agenda, I'd ask that you please fill out a request to speak form and give it to our clerk up here, Joanna. At this time, anybody wishing to speak on an item not on the agenda may do so. I have no request to speak, so seeing none, then we'll move on to Executive Committee and Director comments. Anybody have any comments? Again, seeing none, and we'll move on to a consent calendar. At this time, if there's any request to change or addition to or pull any item on the consent calendar, please let me know to the chair.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to pull item number C.
All right, for discussion.
Yes, sir.
And I'd like to pull item D.
Okay.
For discussion. Mr. Chair, I've got item F.
Okay. All right. Well, for discussion purposes at this time,
so we move all the ballots.
Want to do the rest of them now?
I'll second.
Okay. Well, we can.
Let's do it. Get it out of the way.
All right.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Our vote is unanimous. Okay. Move on, Steve.
Item number C, Mr. Chair, thank you for the time and recommendation. The city of Coachella, we have some concerns with the nature of the contract before us. Certainly, Mr. Kirk has done a great job. He's represented the area well, and in a time where families are struggling to recover from the recession, I mean, tonight we're essentially voting on a $1 million contract. And I don't know if it's standard practice in which we offer 5-year contracts, but, I'm just wondering regarding the liability created from that contract on this agency. So I'd like to have a little discussion about that. And second off, the city of Coachella requests that we maybe continue it. We'd like to talk to the executive director about some of the administrative directions. And unfortunately, I wasn't part of the committee that was selected. Certainly, I maybe should have brought it up to some of the committee members. I apologize for not bringing it up. But we're just asking for a continuance so we can have that conversation with Mr. Kirk.
So there's a matter of clarity in there that you want addressed?
Yes, there's a matter of clarity, and I think that the city would like to have a conversation with Mr. Kirk as well regarding the administrative direction of the agency.
I would suggest, and this is an at-will, and I'm sure you read that, this is an at-will contract. So at any time, it can be severed by either party.
Sure.
So I don't really look at it, and I'm not sure what the concern is, but the other part of it that you said, that you would like for the city to have a discussion, my feeling is that policy and direction is set by this committee, and then those directions, thoughts, et cetera, are then given to the executive director. So I would suggest that we discuss them now, what the issues are, and get this done, and let's move forward. Let's just get this done.
I certainly understand that, you know, that there is a policy discussion that happens amongst all of us here. I think at the same time, there's a administrative objective public policy analysis that gets done by the administrator, and I'd like to have a conversation with him. You know, I don't feel that I need to air it out here in public, but just simply asking that we delay the conversation so that we can have that conversation.
Okay, so then because there is a personnel committee, should we do this in a closed session?
That was going to be my recommendation, asking if we can go into closed session to have further discussion. I know I would have liked to have seen this on closed session. Not that I have any problems with the contract, but I would have liked to have had the executive committee in closed session before we moved this out to the floor, so we could have all had, if there's anything anybody needed to say, we could have all had discussion.
Tom, just a quick question, Mr. Chair. Is there anything pending to where a one-meeting continuance would affect you or the current contract?
There's one complication, but it certainly could be addressed, I assume, easily enough under this agenda item. And the complication is the current contract terminates June 1st.
Correct.
So if it's the pleasure of the committee to go into closed session, perhaps at the next meeting, what I suggest is there be a motion on this item that the contract be extended at the current terms for 1 month to allow closed session and further evaluation to occur.
That would be my motion.
I'll second that.
Any other comments?
I'd like to make a comment. City of Desert Hot Springs, you know, I've only been on here for two meetings, so I haven't had a good opportunity to meet with Mr. Kirk and look at where our goals and objectives and what our needs are in the community. So it creates a good opportunity for me to also chime in and discuss more in detail what our future holds with CBA.
Okay.
Richard? As a member of the Personnel Committee, I went through the process of reviewing with Tom his past performance and the future goals and objectives. And I think looking at the job we've had over the last 5 years from Tom, he's done an outstanding job for us. He has certainly compensated fairly and commensurate with other people in the valley at his salary range. And I'm not sure what issues may be standing before us approving this, but I think the Personnel Committee was unanimous in the opinion that he's done a great job, he should be paid accordingly, and 5 years is not out of the realm as far as we're concerned.
No. Good. Thank you, Richard. Unless there's any other comments, we want to have roll call on
this. Sure.
Whether the motion before, there's been a motion and a second.
The motion is to extend for 30 days and then convene as an executive committee in closed session.
And you may not need a roll call. It sounds like there might be some consensus over that, and certainly staff would support that recommendation. I think we can certainly prepare the material in advance of that meeting.
Okay, well, let me ask the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
And I would register no, too. I'd like to get this done. We have a little more discussion. What I see us here doing is kind of separating what was supposed to be a committee working together. And it's like what I want, what you want, what we want. And we have all these discussions in these meetings where we get to establish that policy and prioritize projects. And I'm hearing now from a couple different cities, well, I want to tell you what I want. Well, this should be part of, this is a regional plan we're putting in place, not each specific city. So that's my reason for my vote.
I would agree with you, Jan, for the most part, though we have some of our member cities that think they at least would like to have something to say, Mr. Kirk. And maybe to the committee in a closed session format. And so we don't step on Mr. Kirk's rights and Aaron's stuff in public. And I don't think a 30-day continuance in airing on the side of making sure everybody's happy is problematic.
Okay.
John? I was part of the committee, and I agree with Mr. Kite.
and the committee, I think, came to this consensus after a lot of discussion, and I think it was entirely appropriate. The job performance is outstanding, and the extension is absolutely within reason. Perhaps we should make it a regular part of our to have a closed session just to give everybody a chance to weigh in on that, though. But whether that happened or not, it's being requested today. I don't think we can deny that request to have that closed session. I think the outcome will be the same. But that's why I would support the motion.
Okay. I want to echo on John's comments, but I was also on that committee, and Tom has done a good job for me in Blythe, and I don't know the other concerns of the other towns, so, you know, at that particular time, so I can't voice that opinion, but I don't feel 30 days is going to hurt the process, but I can do voice Tom has done Blythe a good job, so I don't know about the rest of the city, but that's what we based it on, so...
And then let's look at this as Supervisor Benoit said, in the future, perhaps we need to have a closed session, and then from there, personnel committee meets.
Sure. Okay. Well, I believe the motion passed.
It did?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Item 6D, the Salt and Sea Restoration Renewable Energy Initiative. I personally, and I believe my colleagues in the House and the City of Indian Wells, certainly support this resolution and moving forward with this. My only comment would be that we had a rather lengthy presentation on food trucks here not long ago, but I would very much like to see a full presentation on this project before this committee. It's been done before, a couple of us got on here, so I'd like to see it again. And I'd like to encourage the executive committee, CMAQ, to really put this on the front of its agenda so that we are a moving force in the restoration of the salt and sea. And that's my only comment. With that, I move approval.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to add, because I didn't see it in the staff report, that last month at the Southern California Association of Governments, we did pass recommendation for a resolution on support of the salt and sea restoration and energy initiative. We will be voting on this resolution at the General Assembly next week, which all the council members are invited to attend that as well. But this comes after many, many years of working together with our neighboring jurisdictions, for example, Imperial County. Councilmember Greg Pettis, who is our current president at SCAC, has really moved this effort forward along with the Imperial County contingency to bring the salt and sea to a level where we have more councils and cities supporting the restoration and the opportunities for alternative energy. We did have a presentation by Imperial Irrigation District at one of our SCAC meetings to the whole General Assembly, to the whole Regional Council, actually. And just the participation that we saw from every city throughout Southern California was inspiring. So we're really happy that this has come to this level where we have all of Southern California talking and willing to work in the same direction in supporting the restoration of the sea. I've been on the Imperial Irrigation District Energy Consumers Advisory Board as their chairperson for, I believe, about 8 or 9 years now. So working together all of these years and bringing it through the SCAG process, I think, has really been a great service for this organization. And I really would like to see the Coachella Valley have that same information so that we can all start promoting this type of resolution statewide.
Okay. John? Yeah, I sit on the Salt and Sea Board as Supervisor Ashley. We meet regularly. We met last week. We have got some momentum going to that we hadn't gotten for years with the legislative changes in Sacramento and some funding actually coming our way. I think that we would be pleased and proud to bring a full presentation to this body, and I support that. We'll make it happen. And I appreciate your motion on this, and I'll support this. It is clear we need to move on that too, but we need buy-in from everybody on this. And what we need is another smell event like the last one, but all the way to Simi Valley. We get very interested. You know. It hasn't been seconded. I have a second. Anyone else?
Bring back the smell.
Ted, this was cool. Do you want to make a motion?
I made the motion, but I think it was
John seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It was unanimous. Right. And somebody else had a question?
Yeah.
Richard.
Yes, I just wanted to briefly discuss item 6F, which has to do with H.R. 29. As you may know, I'm the past chairman of the League of California Cities, Riverside County, and currently serve on the board of executives of Riverside County League. And we're strongly in favor of looking at H.R. 29 and making sure it doesn't go any further than through the resolution that's been passed. Even though this is just a resolution and it's not binding, we're afraid that the direction that it's going is not to the benefit of our cities. We have cities in western Riverside County that if this bill were passed similar to this in the future, it could almost eliminate the operation of those cities. So we would ask that each city take it upon themselves to look at H.R. 29, and if you feel the need, send a letter to your representative asking them to not support legislation, which is similar to this in the future, and to protect our cities and allow us to continue to outsource. And we think it's really important in the future that cities be able to use that process, and we think it's very likely that the next direction will be the legislative body looking at H.R. 29 and trying to put something through similar to that. So we support here the authorization of the chair and the executive director to registrar CBAG's opposition to H.R. 29, and we would hope that you would all do the same thing. This is very important to all of us as cities.
Could I have a motion?
Yes. That's a motion, and I'll second it with also a comment. The city of Palm Desert has already sent letters, and we not only sent it to our immediate representative, but those who are representing areas around us, recognizing that if things like this get through, it will hurt them, their economics, and hurt us as well. So we have gone a little even past our direct representatives. We're strongly opposed.
Good. John?
We'll bring this to the Board of Supervisors. My intention, I believe, that we will unanimously follow that lead. When I first went to the legislature, it was AB 1319, I could have remembered wrong, it just restricted school districts' ability to contract out. They've adjusted. They're just spending our tax money more than they should for things that they could do much more efficiently on a contracting basis for certain items like our cities and counties do. We argued this in the legislature when I was there. And it was a late night event, got an event. They don't want to talk about this, they just want to do it. And fortunately, my arguments on the floor about do this and wait till you hear from all your city council members and supervisors and a few others prevailed, and we killed that bill that night. This is a resolution, and some are saying it's only a resolution. Read the second to the last bullet. It says it is the intention of the legislature to move legislation on this issue. So they will do it, and if they do it, it'll probably be a couple of quick hearings at the middle of the night, just the night before session, and gotten a man bill. And that's why it's critically important that we express our angst early and often on this issue. So I support the motion.
Okay. Anyone else? There's been a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. All right. For clarification purposes, Tom, item 6 or 6C will be brought back in a closed session item, and the information will be brought to us from the staff. And that all
yeah. I think what we would do is have a closed session item under personnel evaluation and similar to this, an open item for the contract extension.
Right. Yep. Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I'm doing my math correctly, we really should do date certain 30 days. It's longer than 30 days to the next meeting. So if you just want to make sure we're covered.
Till the next meeting.
I probably didn't clarify myself, Mayor. The contract extension will be 30 days from the termination of the contract, which is June 1st, I believe.
Okay. Right.
All right. So we're going to go to July for 30 days.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Good. Hopefully everybody understands. All right. Okay. We'll move on now to our business session discussion items. Annette, The first one is Skaggs election for regional council representation. Now, Agora isn't here, so Tom, do you want to handle this?
Yeah, real simple. We've done this before. Your representative for Skaggs for District 2 is Greg Pettis. He is running unopposed. Your current representative for District 66 is Lupe Lawless Watson. We have Mike Wilson, who's also seeking that seat. And what you are to do under Skaggs bylaws and rules, right, Tomas, is for the four cities in District 66 to vote for one or the other of the two candidates. And those four cities are the City of Blythe, the City of Coachella, the City of Indio, and the City of Utah.
The other cities then...
It's a done deal,
but it still has to be approved.
Yeah, that after we've taken a vote, after you all have taken a vote related to District 66, I would recommend a motion accepting both of those candidates for recommendation on the SCAG.
Okay. All right.
So it's election time.
It's election time.
Can I make a brief comment?
Sure.
Indio, obviously, there's two of us from the same city, so we're going to take a skipping position and let the other three decide. When I was asked or approached if I had interest in the regional council, I did not know, or I was kind of felt like, well, there's an opening. And yes, I'm interested because I go to the CEHD, the subcommittee meetings in LA as well. So if I'm there, I may well serve on the RC. I do have an interest in serving, but I would like to say it's, I'm not running against Lupe. It's just they asked if I had an interest, and I said yes. So we find ourselves in this situation. I don't think Lupe's done a bad job at all. I just want to serve and an opportunity. So that's where we're at.
Okay.
So in terms of third, it's up to the pleasure of the chair, but I'd be happy to take the roll call when you're at those three cities.
I think that's the proper one.
Okay. Coachella?
So you want to
vote for one of the other?
No, three people are going to decide. Sure.
We came to Coachella and Blythe.
All right. Well, I vote for Mike.
I'm sorry, Blythe?
Mike.
Lukinka?
Lupe.
Two more.
Okay, so there you have it. If there could be a motion recommending...
Sure, I need a motion.
That both Greg Pettis and Mike Wilson be referred to SCAG for these two positions.
I'd like to make the motion.
I'll second. Moved and second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Okay.
All right, we'll move on to our second item, and that's update on CD upgrade, regional PACE program, and approval of standard agreement with Riverside County for collection of special taxes. Katie?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm pleased this evening to be able to have the White Green Energy Fund team here to provide an update for you. CEO Stacey Lawson is here to give you an update. I'm going to introduce her in just a moment. Very briefly, as described in your staff report, as part of the process of completing our CBAG district, we need to set up an arrangement with the county so they can collect the special taxes and process those on an annual basis for each of the individual property owners who are setting up their program through their property taxes. There's a standard agreement that's in your agenda packet. Staff has met with the county offices to review this document that's been reviewed by CBAG's general counsel as well as White Green Council who represent us in this matter. And I'm here to answer any questions about that, if you have any. If not, we'll go ahead and do the presentation, and we can finish up with the staff recommendation to approve that agreement, Mr. Chair. Are there any questions on the standard agreement with Riverside County?
Okay. Thanks, Katie.
Great. With that, I would like to introduce to you Stacey Lawson, who's here from White Green Energy Fund. Stacey's joined by Crystal Crawford, who most of you know, and Patrick Adamson, who's new to the White Green team, and we're excited to have them all here. And with that, I'm going to just let Stacey come up and give you an update.
Thank you, Katie, and thank you to Chair Adolf and the committee members. Very much a pleasure to be here and a great honor to be supporting and and working with the communities of the Coachella Valley in the CD Upgrade Program. What I thought I would do is just give a quick summary or snapshot of where we are with the program. And much of this is in the staff report, but I thought it was worthwhile for us to review it at a high level. So to date, the program has approved over 80 applications totaling about $3.8 million in energy upgrades. And that represents about 120 applications in total. Some of the remaining applications are still in underwriting and hope to be approved. A few others have decided to pay cash or did not meet the program eligibility amount. But we have a very healthy pipeline of approved projects. Of those, 26 projects are currently in construction or completed and funded for a total of $1.2 million. And that includes a combination of roughly the same mix of solar and HVAC, some window projects, and a few other types of measures that are on the eligible upgrade list. We have trained over 200 contractors across the entire valley, so we've actually trained contractors in every single city to date and have folks working for those contractors that represent all of the cities on the committee here. We have two local staff in place, including Patrick and Danny, who are in the local office here. We have one regional full-time staff, which is Crystal, and we have a number of staff at YZ Incorporated, including underwriting, marketing, processing, operations, and others that support the full range of activities that are generated here in Coachella Valley. And we have are in final conversations around a contract for an energy center here in Palm Desert. That would hopefully be opening here in Q2, which we look forward to. And finally, we have a series of marketing campaigns that have started just in the last couple weeks. We will be dropping direct mail letters, which you have a sample of on the dais, that include a letter from the mayor or council member of each city, as well as an indication to the property owner of how much they're eligible for under the program. So they can see for their specific property what they might have available to them by way of energy finance to do an upgrade to their home. And those will be rolling out over the next several weeks in staged batches. The first drops were made last week, so they will be hitting property owner mailboxes over the next 7 to 10 days. And we wanted you to have a copy of this letter, so if you get asked by any of your citizens what it's about, you'll know. Those communications have gone out to your communities. This is an example of the pipeline. It's a snapshot from the end of March. So these numbers are actually larger through April. But I wanted to give you a sense for how this works. Typically, we get applications from the property owners. And at the end of March, we received over 36 applications for $2.1 million in eligible upgrades. We had an additional 47 projects that had already gone through our underwriting process and been approved. So they were qualifying projects for $2.3 million. An additional 11 projects that were actually moved into the construction phase and were being worked on by contractors to upgrade the properties. And 10 that had been completed already and funded for $400,000. So the total completed in construction was $917,000. Which is kind of noteworthy in that we track the PACE programs across the country, and we are not aware of a program either across California or other states, nor of any of Wyden's existing programs that has been this fast-growing. This is the fastest-growing PACE program from inception that we're aware of in the country. So I want to just congratulate you and your citizens for that uptick, and we expect many, many more good things to come. This is my final slide, and wanted to just share with you a little bit about where we're seeing the activity in the valley. We have applications and approved projects from nearly every city. And I think it's important to point out that even in cities where we don't yet have a project underway for a property owner, those cities do have contractors that have been trained and where we're putting folks to work by virtue of the program existing. If we take the current Department of Energy statistics that we work with, those metrics,
based on this economic activity that we've seen, we would predict that we've been maybe either created or supported about 38 new jobs in Coachella Valley by having the program in place thus far, and those do span across cities from Bright Light all the way to Palm Springs and Desert Hot Springs. So I think we're having an impact, and we're hoping to see that in cities here that have not yet had a project come forth, that we'll see that soon, especially with the marketing materials that are going out and the education that's being done across the community. So with that, I thank you for your time, and we open the floor for any questions.
Good. Questions?
Quick comment. This evening, yeah, I was met with White Green and discussed some of our concerns with the representation of White Green. If you look at the chart, one would only see the eastern part of the southern part of the Coachella Valley is pretty much non-existent in projects, and the western part of the valley is overwhelming with projects. And I hope that White Green reaches out and does a better job in the eastern half of the valley to create some more projects and help people that, as we discussed in our individual meeting, ways to approach the Hispanic community on those on the eastern end of the valley. And we would hope that that outreach would be done, and it is critical to our residents. I know Coachella's residents, Blythe in the county, so thank you.
Absolutely, and we actually took those conversations to heart. So one of the things we're doing with the marketing campaigns, we were told by a number of the mayors that their residents were largely Spanish-speaking. And so we are doing bilingual marketing campaigns in Desert Hot Springs, Coachella, India, and Cathedral City to accommodate that, to make sure that we're getting the message out to as many of your residents as possible.
And the county?
And the county?
County of Eastern County, Mecca, Thermal, Oasis, all of those.
That I'm not sure, but I can check on.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Richard?
Ranch Mirage is really pleased with the results so far, and you can see by the numbers that we're getting good penetration into that area. What is going to be used for the basis for doing the mailing out to our residents?
We are making sure that we hit every single city, and they're being done in 2,500 to 5,000 stage drops. We want to make sure that as the calls come in that we can handle them appropriately. So we have basically taken each community and selected a set of properties that are eligible under the pre-eligibility measures, and we'll be dropping to those cities in a phased way. So each community will get weekly another set that are going out, so that as we get calls in, we can make sure we marry them with a contractor and that we can answer questions appropriately and have staff coverage for the responses.
And those valuations are how current?
Valuations in terms of the eligibility,
right.
As current as we can get. So we have data providers that we pull real time. Our marketing team has actually been going through that over the last 3 or 4 weeks to make sure we're cleaning the data and that we have as good of market values and eligibility as we can.
Thank you. Yeah. Good. Any other? Steve?
Yes, Mayor, one of the things that came out of my meeting with White Green, which we don't talk a lot about, but we should, is water conservation opportunities. So we tie out solar and old air conditioners, but now with the drought and the governor's call to action, there are a whole list of water conservation things that we can put into place here. So I would encourage, as we start marketing our efforts, once all these houses are being remodeled and have a huge opportunity to put new systems in when it comes to water, that we look at the water component of this too. So
thanks, Steve. Anybody else? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. All right. We'll move on to item number C, and it's consider the bond proceeds funding agreement between CVAG and the City of Palm Desert for an estimated share of cost of future construction for the Bartola Avenue Interstate 10 interchange improvements. Alan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In December 2007, the Executive Committee approved entering a future reimbursement agreement which established CVAG's reimbursement of allowable costs for the Bartola Avenue Interstate 10 interchange. At that same meeting, the executive committee directed staff to arrange for a depth analysis study to be completed for this interchange project. This has been done for a bit, or at the other interchange funding for the CVAC funded interchange projects to equitably determine the proportionate share of project costs to be paid by the local jurisdictions. Since the Portola Avenue interchange project does not appear close to beginning construction as yet, staff has not yet started that analysis. However, the City of Palm Desert wishes to be assured of having sufficient funds available for the city share of costs when this project does start construction. The City of Palm Desert is now requesting that CBAC enter a bond proceeds funding agreement to allow the city to deposit an estimated amount in an interest-bearing account, an escrow account, to be drawn down during future work on this project. With CBAC, we begin to assess the 25% bulk of the project costs for the work. The proposed bond proceeds funding agreement has been reviewed and approved by CBAC General Counsel and Finance Department. The face value of the bond security secured or identified in the bond proceeds funding agreement is $15 million, and a copy of the agreement that follows the staff report there in your agenda packet. The staff recommendation today is that the executive committee approve bond proceeds funding agreement between CBAC and the City of Palm Desert for the estimated share of cost for future construction of the Portola Avenue Interstate 10 interchange improvements, and both your transportation committee and your technical advisory committee have approved or concur with this recommendation. I'm glad to try and answer your questions.
Thanks, Helen. Questions to staff? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, we'll move on to item number D, and that's a update to the transportation project prioritization study, TPSS, and the regional ulterior cost estimate race. Michael.
Thank you. Every 5 years, CBAG updates its TPPS, or Transportation Project Prioritization Study, and the RACE, which is the Regional Arterial Cost Estimate, and it's time to do that again. We are also suggesting this go-around that we also update our Origin and Destination Study, which was last done in 2010, and update our transportation non-motorized transportation plan to incorporate the state's active transportation criteria. As far as the TPPS, we are also suggesting that we eliminate the bonus points for this go-around and add a criterion for cost-benefit analysis. I've outlined everything, I think, in the staff report. We'll happy to answer any questions you may have. The recommendation for you tonight is that you approve the TPPS approach and suggesting changes to the scoring criteria, allow the update to the origin and destination or OD study, upgrade to the non-motorized transportation plan to include the criteria from the active transportation plan requirements, update the TUMF or the Transportation Uniform Mitigation Fee Nexus study, and authorize the executive director to release RFPs to do that work.
Thanks, Michael. Questions to staff? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Excuse me, Mike. How many likely bidders are there for this kind of work? And what's the likelihood that we would get a bid and come to bid it last, and maybe we end up going there?
I don't know. This kind of work, there are a number of major consulting engineering firms that could do this sort of work. I don't know how hungry they are at this marketplace, but I would not be surprised to get more than three or four good proposals. Yep. Mike or Alan, would you agree with that?
We have been approached by some firms, and I think there's a lot of interest in
it. And certainly the firm that did the work before, I suspect, would be interested in doing it again.
Good. Even after hearing from Greg? No, I'm glad to hear there's going to be some competition and potential choices to be made. But then I move approval.
Second.
Then move to second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Okay, we'll move on to item number E, and that's authorize contract to Best and Krieger and authorize release of the request for qualifications for CD link planning, environmental
Engineering and Other Services. Michael, again.
Thank you. When we first started this exercise, it's been about a year and a half ago, we had a contract with Alpha Planning Design to do a preliminary engineering for the entire project, do a programmatic EIR for the entire project, and to come up with a final environment for what was called the early action section of the CV link. At the time, we anticipated that would be just a couple of miles long, but we have been very successful in accumulating money for the CV link project, and part of that was federal dollars, which requires a NEPA analysis, also CEQA. So we met with Caltrans, our partner in this NEPA analysis, and their suggestion was that why don't we go ahead and do the final engineering and the final environmental for the entire project length rather than just the short section we're thinking about. We think that's a good idea, and we are suggesting that we move ahead with that. Also, because of the legal, I wouldn't say uncertainty, but I would say potential complications from a project like this, we are soliciting or would like to solicit the advice of an attorney familiar with CEQA NEPA law. And finally, we would like to have someone on board to help us with planning phase, a contractor or someone with that's familiar with the contracting aspects of a project who can help us with the prices and scheduling of that. So with that, we are recommending that you authorize the executive director to prepare and release RFQs or RFPs, depending on the thing, for environmental design, engineering, and right-of-way services for the CV link. Authorize the executive director to execute a contract with Best and Krieger for an amount not to exceed $50,000 for legal services related to the added work. And authorize the executive director to prepare and release a request for a proposal for construction manager services. The transportation committee and the TAC concurred with that.
Okay, thanks, Michael. Questions to staff?
Mr. Chair, yes. Michael, have we identified how we're going to maintain this once it's built? And I'm supporting City Lane, so yeah. I'm just trying to understand, one, how we come up with the final design, two, how we decide how this will be maintained in the long term.
The maintenance and operations and maintenance, their current contractor, part of their charge is to develop an operations and maintenance plan. They have come up with a draft of that, and we're looking at that internally as we speak. So, yes, we are looking at that. Don't want to build it. You can't use it because it falls apart.
Okay, so we're going to continue moving this down the line, but we have no idea how, the executive committee doesn't know how it's going to be maintained, what the long-term sustainability of it is. I feel like I'm operating in a box, in a vacuum, not having all the information.
Yes.
If I might, the operations and maintenance plan will come back to you before any approval of the project, and certainly long before the CEQA or the environmental documents come back to you.
I appreciate that, Tom, but we keep hiring consultants, and yet I don't see a big picture. I don't know what the project is going to look like overall. You and I have talked. I've been an early supporter of this. We talked about it growing exponentially to being something grandiose rather than something simple. So where are we in the design? We keep hiring these contractors, but I don't know what it's going to look like, how the sustainability is, and I'm not comfortable that we continue spending money when we don't know what the long term looks like.
I would be happy to bring back more information to the executive committee at a future meeting and give you an update on where we stand.
Mr. Chair, can if I could to the eastern end, the city of Coachella, we certainly have concerns because of the flood channel. Complications out there. That has not been addressed. CBWD has been very clear that under the conditions, there's no trail in the eastern end of the valley. So how's staff going to address that?
Well, there's a couple things, and Tom, you can chime in if you want. There's a bottleneck at Dillon Road. And there's another one, at, I believe it's Adams 52. If we can solve those, we're clear down to Airport Boulevard. So we're working with your staff as right now on how we can answer or solve those problems.
It's actually Avenue 56 and Dillon Road. As you know, we have been in consultation with CBWD and with FEMA through CBWD, and do believe that those issues can be resolved. The request before you, the recommendation before you, is in part related to the interest in the eastern Coachella Valley as well as the western Coachella Valley on being a part of the first phase. And when we originally conceptualized this, we did so with a first phase of maybe 1 or 2 miles. The request before you would allow the first phase to be in east, west, and potentially in the central Coachella Valley, and a much larger first phase. Understanding that a number of issues have to be addressed.
What is the dollar value of this vote?
We'll see when the contracts come in.
I'm sorry.
This will come back. Yeah. This is just to release the RFPs, and then we'll get consulting contracts
and to go ahead and to contract with BB&K for $50,000.
Over hopefully a multi-year period. That's not for one fiscal year.
Chairman.
If
that
diminishes,
it's not for one fiscal year.
It's certainly not for this fiscal year. Yeah.
Multi-year. How many is multi? 2, 3, 5?
And just to clarify, on the BB&K contract, that is a not to exceed, and it's kind of standard process with our agreements with BB&K.
Again, before I go ahead and vote to support this, I just want to know what we're obligating the funds for. If it's just an RFP to go out to get some information, I'm good. If we're committing dollars, we have something to talk about.
You are, just to clarify, you are committing on the contract with BB&K, authorized up to $50,000 of work over some period of time. I'm hoping we expend none of that, but there could be issues along the process. With respect to the RFPs, there is no financial commitment at this stage. There would be proposals brought back forward to you.
Quick question. Tom, how did we get to... on the BB&K contract, was that put out, or is it sole source because they're our attorney?
It's the latter. It is a sole source recommendation. Our feeling was, because we don't have legal issues at this stage, don't go to the process of bringing on attorneys that don't know the multiple species plan, don't know CVAG and CVCC. There was some discussion about this both at the TAC level and the Transportation Committee, and I got the sense from those committees that they supported staff's recommendation that we hire the folks that helped us with the multiple species plan and continue to be engaged by both CVAG and RCTC.
Okay.
Question,
Ted.
Piggyback on to what Kathy was asking. I'm concerned that item 3, the request for proposal for construction, that we're getting kind of way ahead of ourselves here rather than waiting until we find out if we're going to get something to depend on the environment and the design and engineering or right-of-way services. I would think that after we do that or get into that process is when we want to consider hiring a construction manager or a general contractor.
Can I add something there? We're looking for a construction manager to help us with the design aspect of it. So this isn't related to the actual construction of the city itself. So a lot of times there's a movement, I would say, going on throughout the country for complicated projects to bring someone on early that can help advise the designers and the engineers on places where they can maybe cut costs or save on the schedule. So that's what we're talking about here, not about someone to help with the actual building and the project.
Maybe we can clarify that by saying it's a consultant rather than making it sound like it's a construction manager or general contractor.
Okay.
Mr. Chair? So I'm going to piggyback on Mayor DeRosa's comment, too, and try to get a little bit more specific. Because operations and maintenance are important. We talked about that from the early get-go. We've now raised more money, which is terrific. So when can this group, for the first time, see some of those proposals about how we're going to pay for the operations and maintenance. When can we see that?
Let's commit to getting a draft of an operations and maintenance plan to you within the next 6 months, and for all the committee's review.
Okay.
Write that one down, Michael.
Yes. Well, it's a very important issue for every single one of our cities.
Okay. Considering there are concerns in that, what is the consensus of the committee?
Jan? Again, to Mayor DeRosa, we talked about she doesn't know what it'll look like, or, you know.
We've seen conceptuals, but we're moving down the line. And
have we moved any further, or is there something that, you know, can we do a small presentation next time? Because I think there has been changes. There's been some things that seem to be pretty much what we were going for in the design. Is it ready for some more, another, just a word prize, so we don't do one of the, well, when did that happen?
Well, exactly. I mean, and I've done presentations. Staff has provided me information for my residents to do presentations. So, I mean, I've had some, and I sat on the committee who hired some of the initial designers, but we're down the line now of finding people who are actually going to implement, and I still don't feel like I have enough information.
Well, it's a big project, and I think we should make sure we're all well informed along the entire way on this.
Communication.
Would your recommendation be to continue this until the next meeting?
I would love to continue this.
One suggestion for you is the RFP process does take some time, and one suggestion to you is to approve the recommendations you have here and direct staff to come back to the executive committee within 60 days with a status report.
Why 60? You're getting ready to go up an RFP. Why would it take 60 days? Why can't you come back at the next meeting?
Oh, and we certainly can.
And why does it take 6 months to come back with a maintenance plan or some costs? Why is it taking 6 months? Why not 90 days? Why not next month? I mean, I don't know where you're getting 6 months from. Are you just pulling it out of the air, or...
I did pull it out of the air because of course, I hadn't had a chance to consult with our consultants, and the question just came up today, but I'd be happy to bring it back as quickly as possible.
I'd like to table everything until you have all the ducks in a row, and, I mean, that would be my motion. If there's a second, fine. If there's not, my motion is to table it.
For the comments, I think we should, and I hear what you're saying on the RFP, I think at the very least we should move forward with the RFP process, and if you want to hold the other two items until next time, I can understand that. But I think the timing with RFPs, you need all the time you can get, and I think we ought to move that forward.
I think we should move the entire thing forward and request as soon as possible those two other issues on operations and maintenance, and on an update on the design, and as soon as staff is ready, once they've consulted, how quickly they can bring it back.
Is that your amended motion on second?
Motion on the table to hold off and
hold off. Did you amend that motion?
No, mine was a discussion item.
Okay. Discussion.
All right.
My motion on the table is to table this until the next meeting, until we have more information.
I'll second. Continue it until the next meeting.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second.
Well, there's been a motion and a second, unless there's any comments. All in favor?
No.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. No roll call. Okay, we better have a roll call.
Yeah, you have.
Blythe?
I'm going to abstain from this one.
Cathedral City?
Aye.
Coachella?
Aye.
Desert Hot Springs?
Aye.
Indian Wells?
Aye.
Indio?
No.
La Quinta?
Aye.
Palm Desert?
No.
Palm Springs?
No.
Rancho Mirage?
No.
Riverside County 4th District?
No.
Riverside County 5th District?
Okay, I'm not participating or voting on this potential conflict of interest. And I think I've had a campaign donation from one or more of the partners of EDK. So I'm not going to take part. I can't remember how where I was. I'm not voting.
It's tied.
Tied.
Yep.
Can you make a motion of your
own? Yeah. So I will approve staff's recommendation to ask two items to be brought forward as quickly as possible. They would be operations maintenance schedule and design update information.
Well, I would add in that we have the presentation also being brought to us, and so
sure.
That's securing the motion.
I'll second the motion.
Shall I say all in favor?
Could we articulate the motion again? Because I'm not sure.
Okay, I'm asking to approve staff's recommendation items 1, 2, and 3, asking staff as quickly as possible bring back a schedule to discuss operations and maintenance, and then secondly, a presentation on where we are on the overall design of the plan as soon as possible, which I think you heard, Kat, is not 6 months.
Okay. Clarify?
Thank you. Yes, I just wasn't clear.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Not voting.
All in favor except for one extension.
Okay.
All right. That concludes the business session items this evening. The last thing is announcements. Upcoming meeting will be Monday, June 2nd at 4:30 here. Upcoming meetings in La Quinta, the General Assembly, on June 30th and 6 p.m. So that, we're adjourned.